If we have to duck out early, just duck out and redo the replay.
All right. Well, this week is the week on self-integrity. It's a week on redirecting, which is a really important component. And I think a lot of you kind of missed that because the question's been coming to me that that should have been the answer to it, and the money. So I'll start with the first two parts and then we'll get to money, which I know you all want. So the first part is the self-integrity component. That is a follow-through on your word. Now, some questions been coming to me because you were asking how come the intentions don't work. That answer is actually somewhere in the videos. And if you remember, there are three things why sometimes when we intend, something doesn't happen. And the three reasons are, number one is that you are not grounded in who you are. Like you're trying to be grounded in maybe somebody else's view of reality or something like that, but not in who you are. So that's the essential. So we're not just talking about grounding as in being in your root chakra. We're talking about grounding in your selfhood and your own perception versus someone else's, okay? So second reason is the identity doesn't have the option for the thing that you are desiring to have. So that is definitely something to remember, because when you don't have the possibility for the thing that you want to have within the parameters of your identity, it cannot manifest. So that's the number two reason why intentions don't always create whatever we're intending, is because the identity did not include the thing that we want. Like, let's say if somebody says, I want to have a profitable business, but the identity says I'm a poor person. They will not have a profitable business, and if they do, all the money will disappear because they are a poor person. So the identity would have to actually change in order for that person to accommodate something, right? Or if somebody says I want more clients in my business and lots of activity, and at the same time they think that means they have to work hard because their identity is I have to earn money by working hard, that's exactly what will happen. And the same thing, not just about money, but let's say about spirituality. If the intention is I want to connect to the universe and experience oneness, but at the same time the identity is I have to understand every single thing I experience, it's like the mental self. Well, that identity will not allow the person to experience oneness because you can't understand oneness fully, right? So that's what I mean by that portion of the identity has to accommodate whatever it is that you are intending. That's why we were looking at the identity in the previous weeks, why it's so important, because the broadcast begins with identity, right? And the third, the third reason is the self-integrity. So that's the part that I was telling you before, that if you are in self-integrity, then you automatically are following through on whatever the overall decision that you have. And if you have that component, if that's, you know, working for you the way that you want it, well, then you naturally will create what you would like to have in your life. Okay?
Eugenia? It's Brad here. I can see everybody pretty clearly moving around. Ah, there you are. You're back. You were frozen and then just black for most of that first segment.
All right. So those are the three components that are very important pieces. So can everybody see me? It's okay. I'm here moving, speaking. Yeah. Do this so I can.
No.
Your video is frozen, but we can hear you.
The voice is okay, but the video is frozen.
Right. Yeah.
Did it unfreeze?
Maybe you could bi-locate into each of our rooms.
You look great, though. You look great.
Did it unfreeze? Yeah, you're happy.
Am I moving again?
Just a little slow.
Bandwidth issues.
Not on my end. It's full.
Yeah, the only reason I spoke up is because I could see everybody else really clearly and moving around and scratching their noses, but you're just frozen or black.
I'm going to go back on. So the three things that I was saying, those are the issues as to how we sabotage what we want to create, right? So the three components of the sabotage here is if we're not grounded in who we are, if we're not in the identity that is capable of creating it, and if we are not in self-integrity, as in we're not consistently following through with whatever our intention is in the first place. Okay, so all the ones of you who ask me that question, like how come something doesn't happen, I tried but it doesn't work, that's why. So you need to look at one of those three things that are probably off in whatever it is the intention was set for originally, okay? So another component in there is that a lot of you have been asking, I know Vanessa brought that up directly, but then I got a lot of emails as well, is what happens when like my old identity keeps showing up, all my old broadcasts, and then I just feel bad, and it's just making me feel bad because I'm realizing all these things that I'm doing that are incorrect. Well, you have the answer to this inside this lesson four. That's the redirect. I'm the thinker of my thoughts. I'm the creator of my emotions. I choose to see the reality differently. Redirect. Was there guilt or shame anywhere in there? No. It's not about feeling good or feeling bad. That's yet another story. And stories are illusions. So are you benefiting by the story or not? And you, in this case, higher self. The only stories we want to keep are the ones that empower us, so that we are our own inner heroes. We are the ones who create something. We are powerful. We're making something happen in our lives. So that's what you want to look for. You want to look for your story. Is it empowering or not? If it's not, then you want to redirect out of it. Not go explore it. It's not beneficial. I mean, for the exercise of knowing how the chains are created, yes, it's beneficial originally, but once you've done that enough times, remember, you all found some sort of a identity that is the root of the problem, right? Every single one of you did that exercise before when we did all the broadcasts, and you did many, many, many and different things, and all roads lead back to one negative lower self identity. Either I'm not good enough, or I'm only good if, or this, like whatever it is that you figured out, each one of us has some sort of a thing. Well, whatever that negative lower self identity is, you don't need to go figure it out every time you fall into it. All you need to do is redirect out of it. So will you fall into it? Of course you will. It's a pathway in the brain that has been created since childhood. Why wouldn't you fall into it? But will you fall out of it? And how fast you do that? That's the part that's up to you. See, when we go into it like, oh, I was supposed to be this new identity, but here I go again doing the bad thing of the past or the negative behavior. So I'm bad and I'm feeling bad and I'm feeling ashamed. That's yet another story. And the story says I'm supposed to succeed right away. And if I don't, I must be weak. I must be bad. I must not know something, or I must be somehow defective. That's a story. Is that an empowering story? Nope. That means what do? Redirect the hell out of there into the more beneficial story. Right? So beneficial story is I can, I will, I create, I'm capable. I am. Anything that goes in that direction, those are all beneficial stories. Anytime you're in a non-beneficial story, all you want to do is redirect. If we park ourselves in there and feel bad, that is actually opening up the story that is a lower self story and then making that your identity. So let's say you've been doing something awesomely for an hour, and then at the minute 63, you fell out into the old habitual something, a thinking pattern or a feeling pattern. You feel somehow bad. As soon as that happens, all that is a clue is this beneficial? I'm not feeling good. So is this a benefit? Like, am I not feeling good because I'm uncomfortable, because I'm stretching myself and expanding and going for something that I want? You know, kind of like heroes that go to face the dragon. They're not always comfortable. So like, am I being one of those that it's uncomfortable, but in a good way? Or am I actually in kind of a self-sabotage and in scarcity and minimizing? Like, is it abundance or is it scarcity? And if it's scarcity, then you apply this formula. You remind yourself, I am the one who's thinking my thoughts. Nobody else is making those thoughts. Those thoughts don't just show up in my head. Thoughts don't just happen to you. Nothing ever happens to you, ever. We create the thoughts. So yes, you're the one who thought those thoughts. You're the one who created the feelings. And now you're choosing, I choose to see my reality differently. You can add to it whatever works for you. You don't have to use my words exactly, but come up with some sort of a little formula there, as in how you can shift out of the negative story into a positive story. That's the redirect. Usually there are two components to this. One is you have to remind yourself that you're the creator of it, so you get out of the victim mode. Because when we're in the negative story, we're already in the victim mode. So one is you have to kind of remind yourself of something that's empowering you. And another one would be your choice or decision to change that. So those are the two parts of the redirect, always. That's your bridge out of negative into positive, okay? So the options I'm giving you is I'm the thinker of my thoughts. I'm the creator of my emotions. I choose to see reality differently. Redirect. Yours might be, I'm not this, I choose to be that. Redirect. So whatever your version there is, it doesn't really matter, but those words must work because they have to hit the spot in you that needs to hear it. You know, something in us that is powerful but forgot that it is. We are always powerful. There's no such thing as, oh, right now you're not powerful and then you're gonna be powerful. We are forever, always, and all the time powerful beings because we're God. We're all universe. We're all sparks of light. We're all divine beings all the time. That does not change just because we forget it sometimes. It's a fact of the universe. That's a universal law. I think I have it actually in one of the videos there somewhere, that the universe doesn't just like follow the laws for everybody, but then for you on Tuesday at, you know, 7:15 p.m., it just doesn't for some reason, just for you specifically, you know, because like everybody is powerful all the time and you know, like right now, you're not. There is no such thing. Universe is always following the same rules. So whatever it is that we are all the time. And in a big sense, we are all the time the divinity of the universe. We are that. But then we bring that into this simulation, into these bodies, and then we try to see reality. That's the perception through something smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's what makes us all unique. And it's up to you how you're choosing to see reality. It doesn't happen to you, it happens because you choose. So whichever way you choose, that's how your reality will be, okay? So that thing I posted that our perception based on our decision determines our reality, that's what we're talking about. This entire Abundance Gate course is about that. So Dusty, who said, I don't understand, that's what it is about, right? Our perception, you know what perception is, right? Is the way we see. So like, let's say if there is a, you know, car accident, somebody can say, oh, I'm a victim, horrible thing happened to me. There's so many people driving drunk. And another person can say, wow, this is awesome that this happened because I could have been killed, but I'm unharmed. It's amazing. Same event, different perception. Perception is how we see reality based on a decision. Decision, that's the conscious part of our identity and the integrity, the following through. I'm like giving you how the universe is made, how the simulation functions. This, if you understand that, that is the code of this reality. You can create anything you want. if you track that. So our perception based on our decision, which is the identity and integrity, creates our reality, which is the external. And the external is mostly not just the world around us, but how we are in that world. What is it that we experience? In the same situation, two people can have a very different experience on the inside. And if that experience is continuous and the situation, let's say, continuously happening, it will start to modify for the person who's having a more harmonious experience, and it will not for the person who's not having one. Like, let's say two people are in a job where boss is very abusive. If one person is being a victim, that will continue, probably get worse. If another person is not being a victim, something else will happen. Either they will get promoted or move to another department, or the boss will get fired or something else. Not because they intended to get rid of the boss, but because they chose a different experience. And whatever happened to the boss, that's just the external matching the broadcast, okay? All of us tend to over-focus on the external creation. Like in this little example, let's say the abusive boss is there, I don't want this boss to be in my life. I want him gone or her gone. But that is focusing on the external. If instead it's more about who am I with this person? What am I learning here? Okay, well, that's a lesson in patience maybe, or in boundaries or whatever, or speaking up my truth. As long as we're doing that, that will either resolve itself because the boss will stop being a trigger for us altogether, or something will move us out of that situation. But if we intend something more on the external, on the boss, let's say, that doesn't work because that's based in scarcity, right? It's a scarcity that says, I'm not everything. Boss is not me, so they are hurting me. I have to separate. And anytime we're in separation, there's scarcity. But we really always want. There is no separation. The external people and internal us, it's all one thing because we're all one light. We're all one, the same power. We're playing these little games with each other based on our perception. So this key that we, based on our perception and decision, create our reality, that's the whole thing of the broadcast, okay? So the requirements for attracting abundance into your life, that was also in this lesson. If you remember, that's the alignment with the universe. That's a one. And the two is integrity. That's what everything is in this lesson. It's the following through on your decision. That's a consistency. Because if you're doing something 20 days and then on the 21st day you decide, ah, screw this, I'm just not doing it. Well, the universe is going to give you whatever it is. And by the way, it actually works even more complex than that. I didn't say that in the video because that would have been too complicated. But if, let's say, you hate your parent and you're intending abundance and you're being a great person and you're loving all your friends and people and you're being super supportive, but internally you still have a hook about something with a parent and you just have hatred there, that is also broadcast. And if that broadcast is strong enough, it will become an interference pattern for whatever the intention is, even though seemingly it's not even in the same category. So that's why self-mastery work is so important, because by doing that, we're cleaning up all these hooks and attachments and whatever it is that we link to other stuff, other people. That's why going into the past is not beneficial once you got the lesson. Once you understood that's what it was teaching me, the time to move on happened. That's it. But when we keep going back to the past, all we're doing is we're now in a story that reinforcing the identity that formed in the past, because the lower self wants to maintain that identity because it somehow found it safer, or, you know, something that it got, some lower self benefit, remember that part. So anyway, the three parts to create the identity, remember the alignment with the universe, the second is the integrity and the follow through that we just talked about, and the third one is the allowing. You know, we have to actually allow something to come in. That's the self-worth, self-love, which is why that's so important. It's not some words about, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm supposed to love myself. It's like, if you want to have wealth, you have to love yourself. Not in an ego way, though. Not in like, oh, I'm superior being, I'm awesome, give me everything, because that's a demand, and that still goes back to scarcity. But truly love by kind of humbly connecting and knowing that we are everything. When we know that and we fully allow the universe and us to interconnect for the energy to flow, that's what creates the experience of that third point that then the abundance can come in. And in the money video, you were watching me talk about the two buckets, right? And how in order to receive from that universal bank account, the money bucket, we have to actually allow it to enter into our lives. All right. So I think I answered the questions that have been popping up in there. And one of the questions I wanted you to look at is, how do you benefit by being not worthy? That was a very important question. And I think a lot of you sort of skipped that. So that would be something definitely to journal about, because we think that we're not worthy because, you know, that's how our parents told us, or that some shit happened in school or something, or karmic from another lifetime or whatever. Those are stories. And yes, there might be the creation factors, but they're still stories. What we want to look at, why do we keep the story? Not why do we have the story? This is where everybody kind of misses that part. It's so simple, but it gets missed somehow all the time. We overfixate on how did it happen? How did we create that? But that itself is actually not very relevant. It's not even that important. Doesn't matter most of the time. What does matter though is, why do we keep it if it's actually keeping us from abundance, right? That's the part as to how do we negatively benefit by seeing ourselves as not enough, unlovable, defective somehow, not worthy, all those things are variations of the same team. So whichever your version is, what is your lower self benefit? What do you get by doing it, by being that? Because it's a limitation, right? So we get to keep the limitation because we want something from that limitation. So look into yourself. What is it that you are getting by seeing yourself as somehow not enough, not worthy, not lovable, even if it's not in all areas of your life? Maybe it's only in one area of your life, but whichever area it is, you know about it. So whatever that place is, what is it? So let's see some people that want to say something, and we can go from there. I can feel fillers people are wanting. Okay, John McKee, you're gonna go first. I'm trying to unmute you, but there you are.
I got it. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I saw a clear pattern for myself in the benefits, and it really comes down to being safe from being accountable, safe from being responsible, safe from being powerful. Those are like three of the big, you know, the benefits for me of feeling so, you know, that lower, you know, not worthy.
And this is where I'm going to turn that backwards on you, John. And what will happen if?
Okay.
What would happen if you were responsible, accountable, powerful? What would happen? What are you actually afraid of? Like, go deeper.
I'd have to show up. I'd have to, you know, yeah.
And what would happen if you show up?
I'd have to I'd be vulnerable. I'd have to reveal my true self.
And what would happen if you were vulnerable? What do you believe will happen?
I'm open to criticism. I'm open to, you know, someone not liking me or
and why is that matters? Why does it matter? So they don't like me. So they have an opinion about you that's not matching your own opinion. So what?
Then I feel alone. I feel like I don't fit in.
Okay, so that is the root. So do you see how many layers we had to go to get there? So that's what, perfect. Thank you, by the way, okay. John, for being an example. But that's what I want you guys to do. Did you see what we just did here? We didn't go into like, oh, so then I this. That's awesome. You were totally correct. But now see how far we went, and that's your actual answer. Okay. So now you know what there is to really look at, because chances are that part is part of your negative lower self identity. See, that's okay. Not anymore the story. Now we kind of dug it in all the way to identity, to the carrot planted on the ground, big root.
Right. Okay. Right. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for being brave. Speaking up. All right, Dasha.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, I just wanted to go right after John because he's so much related to my own experience. And I also find that when I go through all these chains of finding out why I do what it is I do, that safety comes at the bottom of it. Like, I'm not going to be safe. So I cannot be visible because I will not be safe, all that kind of stuff. But recently I found one more, which just totally blew my mind. And that is, I found out that all the self-sabotage happens because I want to slow myself down, because I'm actually like a rock, you know, and I'm terrified of speed. And whenever everything is clearly kind of flowing through my being and I'm aligned perfectly and there is no separation between my intention and the action, there's a danger of becoming too fast, you know, things will be moving.
And so why is it, so look for the root there, and why is it dangerous to go fast?
Yes, and here's what I found out. I did that. I thought, look, why am I so afraid of going fast? Why am I afraid of speed? And it was related to knowledge. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, so if I'm really, really clear, if I see everything, if I move, I don't waste any time and any excuses, blah, 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 I know more. What if I find out something really unpleasant about the universe, you know? Like, I have all my beautiful picture about how it all works and blah, blah, blah. Some things I know, some things I don't. What if I, like, truly, truly, truly know everything and it's really terrifying and horrible? So the fear of knowledge, but it also then going one layer deeper is also then afraid for your safety.
So okay, so before you go into safety, Dasha, if you go back one step to the, if I speed up, I will find out something I don't like. And what if it's really horrible? Okay, there's some story wrapped up there, because horrible means something to you. It's not just that it is horrible, you're kind of using it like a fact, but it's not. It's a story of your lower self. So let's translate, what does it actually mean? If I know something that I don't like, what?
Whatever. Okay, so what will it be? I asked that question. Mm-hmm. And the answer was that, what if I find out that everything that we're talking about it is an illusion, and I don't believe it, actually. I totally am, like, I'm on with the program and everything. This is great. But my fear that I completely, like, shoved down inside is that I find out that essentially it's a fear of death, that I am not eternal. I am very, very death.
No, that's a story. And too. Not, it's also a story.
Well, but how do I cancel that story out?
You don't cancel story. You go beyond the story into the root of it. The root of everything you said is still there's a projection of authority point. I really? Find out that the universe is this way, and now I'm stuck with whatever this is. It is bigger than me, and I'm here, and it is this way, and that's it, the end. That's the thing that then translates as death for your personality.
Yeah. Okay, yes, okay.
What so if you're the creator? What if there is no projection of the universe this way or that way? What if the universe is whichever way you decided it is to be?
Okay, all right, I haven't seen that one. All right,
yeah.
I am there now. Okay, great, thank you very much.
You and Robert Brady should have a conversation. He's the fastest, he's the super speed. You're the rock. So this would be very interesting.
Slowly. Yeah, speed is totally terrifying, to be honest. All right, great. Well, thank you. I didn't see that at all. So now I can, you know.
Yeah, it's who is the creator is actually the question there, Dasha. Because what you were doing when you got all the way to death, that's like the death of the victim. And yes it's true, yes. The victim will die. But then what's left? Eternal you. So okay. There is no such thing as the universe is what if I find out, as if it's a fact. That's a story, because you make
the universe, whichever way you desire. Also,
it is also kind of interesting because knowledge is like my big thing. I actually love knowing, you know, I totally, it's like one of my paths, whatever. And it's interesting to see the story of self-sabotage there, that you, right. On one hand, I'm working very, very hard to get this. And then the other hand, I'm cutting off my limbs to not get this. So,
right.
Thank you. All right.
Thank awesome. You. That was a very much a brain twister. Good.
All right.
Thanks. Yep. All right. Let's see. Somebody else waving at me? Come on, the ones who did not speak. We need more. Rama? Okay.
Zenia. Yeah. I want to say, look, I'm conflicted here. I really want to go out there and kick some butt. You know, not literally, but I really want to be active and proactive and be visible. But on the other side, from my grandpa, from my grandfather, I hear this, you know, try not to get involved with people too much because, you know, just like stay away, try to stay away from it. From my father's side, I also hear like, don't get involved too much because, you know, you see all this gray hair, this is from getting involved with people.
Yeah, all of this is a story, Roma, so we know that.
Stories.
Yeah, that's not a real thing. That's something that somebody told you. You got indoctrinated into it by choosing to make it your reality. So now do you have a different choice?
Yes, I do have a different choice. And actually, I do want to get out and do something. But I'm also conflicted about whether I'm doing the right thing for my job. So whether I'm making money the right way. So right now I'm kind of doing my thing in the cubicle. I'm writing program, I'm a software engineer, and I'm, you know, sometimes it's just so very unglamorous. You're in the core doing your thing, but I really want to get out there and talk to people more. I want to interact, get involved with developers, get creative, do all these things. Whatever you teach in your gym, it's awesome. I want to apply it. But
why can't it be both? Why can't you have a job and then on evenings and weekends go out there and talk to people? And when you build that up into something that generates income, then you quit your job.
Because on the weekends, I want to go to the mountains and get lost. I just want to recharge on the weekends.
So
I have my bicycle, I go there and I just trail the trails.
So that's the consistency of intention.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's like it's and saying that I want everything, like, okay, I want everything, but I don't want to make step in either one of them in a committed way. So you would have to actually choose what is important. That doesn't mean that you choose not to do other things. You just choose what is the priority. So if self-care in the form of going to the mountains is a priority, then you connect with people by doing this and it's not a business and it doesn't matter and you keep your job. No problem. If choosing to build a different way of making money through connecting with people is a priority, then you would have to figure out what is it that you're getting from being alone in the mountains that you could get by being with people and integrate that into your business. So then that becomes the priority. That doesn't mean that you can't go to the mountains. It just means you would have to strategize as to how you do that so you can still build the thing that you desire. So that intention is consistent. Otherwise, it's like, my grandfather said I shouldn't do this. My father said I shouldn't do this. I'm thinking I should do this, but I also don't want to lose anything. So I want to make sure that I keep my fingers in all the possible pots. And that creates being parked. You can't drive with indecision. In order to move directionally, we have to decide, right? Remember, the decision is to cut.
Yes, yes, but you know, I actually at this point I don't care. My father said, or my grandpa said, I don't care. This is more about not over giving the end that I have. I feel so exhausted. If I'm with people, I give it my 100%, and then I feel like so exhausted.
But so the problem so here exhausted. Is not being
I really
with
would
people.
Like to have a
the problem
control,
is giving
situation of my life.
The problem is not being with people, it's how you give. Maybe. Because if we give correctly, we don't get exhausted. If we give incorrectly, that's no boundary, that's doing something that's probably more than necessary, and then we become exhausted. So in that issue there, it's something else altogether. It's not about being or not being with people, it's about how you be with people. Like, I'm with people a lot, and I'm an introvert.
So it's a question of just fine-tuning. Okay.
Yeah, when
all right, I'll have to find that situation a little bit, you know, maybe find voice.
When we give something to people, there's a, like, you have to think of what that means. Like, let's say if you're choosing to teach a workshop, would that be a giving? In a sense, yeah, but if you're more like you're full of energy and you're just sharing it, you're not losing anything. The universal life force just goes through you. Like, I'm not losing energy by talking with you guys for 2 hours. I actually feel just energy going through me. And as I said, I'm a total introvert, so being with people is not my thing. But that when I'm in a service mode, it's not an issue because it's the universal life force. On another hand, I would never sit for 2 hours and chat with somebody because that would exhaust me, because that's, I'm an introvert. That's not a thing I do. So for you, Roma, you need to figure out what is your way when you in alignment with service. When we give while in alignment with service, we do not get exhausted. But as soon as we in our own issues, which means mm-hmm. we overgive or we do something we shouldn't, that's where we start to be exhausted. Did that make sense?
Interesting. Okay, all that, yeah. Yeah, I think one of my teachers said, you know, start teaching the seminars, Qigong seminars, start teaching. And the more you teach, the more you know your limitations and you know where the golden mean is. So probably that's the situation when you do more of it and you finally find that gold spot.
Well, practice is always a way to figure out more details. And yeah. Practice is always a better way than sitting and hoping and contemplating. Yeah, so doing it works, but also finding your own way of doing what. Like there are hundreds of thousands of people teaching Qigong, but then you can do it your own way. And whatever that is, that's the part that's true service. And that's what's going to make you unique, and that's what's going to make you feel good about serving. Exactly.
But once you try, you will find your own flow. That's what I'm talking about. Once you keep going and trying like 100 times,
that would happen with a lot of practice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, all right, Roma. Thank
you. Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay,
that's
Robert.
What I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Robert Brady, you're next.
Great. Eugenia, I have a question. The difference between allowing and self-worth and havingness. So I have self-worth. I'm allowing the universe I'm allowing things to come to me, but how much can I have what comes to me? So some days I can look at it and it's like a percentage that's mm-hmm. much lower. It's like, well, why is my havingness low around this? So then I'm looking at it, is it self-worth underlying that or is it not allowing that to come in?
Well, remember in the video of two buckets. It's a great question.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have one bucket, that's our service. That's a thing we do to contribute to the universe. This is the bucket of our universal bank account, the money bucket. This is where the universe says, okay, here you have whatever it is. But what's in the middle? Self. That's the identity. That's the part that then has to have a perception of allowing and perception of keeping. So you can allow as in it can come in, but you can be a leaky bucket if, let's say, your story is I can have it, but then I have to give it away, for example. That's not your story, but let's say, right? Or something
that's great.
That.
Yeah, that's really
or it could be a different story. I can have it, but then bad things happen to me because I'm becoming a target by having it, so I have to get rid of it. That's another story. There are many different stories. Again, not yours, Robert. But those are stories as to why sometimes we allow in, but then we don't hold on. So in your case, what is the actual question here? Like when you say having, what does it mean to you?
Having abundance. It's like having anything I desire. So I know when I purchased my place that I live in, it's like I had to raise my havingness because I thought I could spend this money on so many other different places, but I deserve this, but I had to increase my havingness to let myself have it. So that was
I see now what you're asking. It's the individuality versus oneness. When we're allowing, there has to be an individuality that has and a oneness that flows. So you allowed, so there's the oneness, but if there's not enough self that says, I want it for myself, because it says, well, everything is everybody, so I shouldn't, kind of like communism. instead, it's like, no, you can have your own condo. It's okay. The universe is not diminished by you having it. Then you actually claiming it with your own energy imprint.
That's what it was. It was claiming. Thank you.
Yeah. That's claiming, really it's applying uniqueness of selfhood territory onto something. Okay, so our selfhood, uniqueness, that unique brilliance, the zone of genius thing, the superpower, that creates a sphere of influence, you can say, like zone of genius, it's a sphere of influence. It's like, this is your territory of the universe. Of course, it's all interconnected, and of course, it's all universe. But because this is what, like, you put a stamp of your uniqueness onto it, it's yours. So that would be the selfhood translation of having.
Oh, that's great. You know, I so love this module because I realized how much I have not been in integrity with the follow through.
So
already I started like being more impeccable, you know, in committing to certain things that I haven't done. It was like, I'm going to put this into action straight away. And then your meditations are so sublime. It's like that experiential part that is so deep and expansive. And it's like inwardly creative. I just thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Robert. Yeah. You're very welcome. Really. Okay. All right, Amy, I see you, but hold on. I'm gonna see if there's anybody else waving at me on other pages. All right. Amy, I'm gonna go back to you then.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. And plus one on Robert. The self-integrity is a real kick in the butt. So, thank you. When Dasha was talking, I had a question come up around that, and I'm curious when she was about who's the creator and the death of the victim. What was coming up was, like, I want to believe that I'm a divine spark, but I was writing down, like, I am only this body. So just sort of fear of death. And so I don't know if there's another flavor on that, but.
Absolutely. Would you like an answer to that one?
Please.
The first part of what I already said. Remember, three ways we sabotage our intention. Not grounded in who you are. Identity doesn't have the thing you want to have, and not following through, self-integrity. So in your case, it's the number two part. You're trying to do this with a lower self-identity. Of course, it would not have that capacity. You'd have to actually switch to a different identity that does have that capacity. The identity of us that is, I am God, it's a very different identity that I am this little person over here who's a victim. That's why the victim part dies, in quotes, in order for us to go to the other identity. And the redirect part, that's how we switch.
So, I totally hear what you're saying. If I don't 100% believe that I am a divine spark.
Exactly. That's not you. The right in that sentence, that I don't, it's not you. You believe that. You already know that. You couldn't not know that. It's the lower self identity I that doesn't. That's what I'm saying. That statement is from the identity that's like this teeny little marble to the rest of you.
So is that where the decision and the choice comes in, that I just decide to view from my, like the choices that I view from the perspective of the divine spark?
Yep. Be the operator on the train tracks, you know, just switch from here to here. You're the train, you're moving, you're the identity. You can go this track or you can go that track. Somebody has to do the switch. That switch is your conscious decision. We all free will beings. That's why we have free will. Free will doesn't mean do whatever you want. Free will means decide, choose.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, one more person and I'm gonna move on to the money part. Shannon, let's unmute you. Nice to meet you.
Hi. Yeah, me too. I was wondering, in terms of decisions that sort of are conscious, but maybe harder to control the outcome of, like, I have a lot of trouble sleeping, and that's part of my, like, self-care I want to work on, but it feels like choosing to fall asleep in a normal way prohibits me because I'm like, it's a control thing.
Yeah, but it's too small of a story altogether. You have to look at, why am I not sleeping? I'm not sleeping because I'm not allowing myself to rest. And then you do the broadcast chain. So I'm not allowing myself to rest. Why? Because I'm worrying about something, or I'm trying to micromanage maybe. And then what are the thoughts I'm having about that? Maybe that something's going to happen, or yet again, I'm not going to be rested, and then I'm going to fail, or whatever it is. I don't know what your story is, but something. Then what do I have to believe? Oh, I would have to believe that only if I slept a full whatever hours, I am enough or okay or safe or functional. And if I sleep less, I'm not, which, by the way, is totally not true, because sometimes I sleep 1 hour a night and I'm totally functional for years. So it's completely, we just make up whatever our reality is. So that's a story. So then what identity would that be? And let's say the identity would be that I'm only full capacity if I follow rules, and sleeping a certain number of hours is the rule. So you would then have to switch that to a different identity, which, let's say, would be, I make my own rules, and no matter how many hours I sleep, I fully rested and fully functional. That creates a whole other chain that, on the end, it completely frees you from having to sleep or not, because now you rested anyway.
Okay.
Do you see now the intention is, I'm rested. Mm. And then your body might actually sleep just because it's like you got out of its way.
Right. Great.
Yeah. Does that answer it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Don't see anybody else. Okay, so that means we're gonna go into money. Okay, money. I bet this was an eye-opener as to where money comes from. And I'm sure everybody has stories as to where money comes from, and they are all made up limited stories. So this is a really big thing there to really remind yourself of, especially if you found that you have a habitual something, like, let's say, money comes from, I don't know, people liking me. Like, if people don't like me, then I can't get paid. Or money comes from clients. So if I don't have certain type of clients, it wouldn't work, or whatever your story was, or working hard, or being lucky. I don't know, whatever the story is, but those all things are stories. So just like I started talking with Robert about that, there are two buckets, and in order for us to fill the universal bank account bucket, we need to participate. Right? So let's say this bucket is part of, like, we're part of the universe anyway. So as far as the survival, I mean, we're on a planet where really we can just, like, live. If we were animal-like, we could live here. So the abundance baseline is covered. But anything else we want, like, if you don't just want to, I don't know, eat off the land, but actually want to have an apartment and a car and clothes, I don't know, toothbrush, you will need to have money. And to have money, it's the self that's required that can do that, and the service part, something that we do. And I was describing how service could be work, like a job or a business, but service doesn't have to be that. It could be, I think my example was lady gardening and just being in abundance with her flowers and oneness. Service could be meditating or whatever. There could be many different services. The point is, it's a consistent service broadcast. That's where the integrity follow-through part comes in. Whatever we decide that we stick to, like our highest identity of service, we actually continuously do and be. So, like, let's say if you have your own business and you decided that you are worthy of bringing in clients, and you're going to be very beneficial influence in their life, you can't one day or one morning just undecide and feel crappy about yourself and feel bad and feel like you're not good enough. Because as soon as we do that, we sabotage the broadcast. and then whatever the universe starting to bring to us suddenly disappears. So it's a consistency of the service broadcast. And then the selfhood, the identity that has to have the space when it's in alignment, when it's grounded in itself, when it's able to be the self that can take it in whichever way we decided that it will be, the decision, and allowing it to come in, okay? So what specific malfunctions did you find in that process when you were looking at those two buckets and yourself and where you contribute? Remember, it's a syntropy. I was describing it as a syntropic flow, which means we give, we receive, we give, we receive. If we're in that syntropic flow, we automatically in abundance. As soon as we break that flow, and we break it by going into scarcity consciousness, like a way of looking at things, the perception that is scarcity based. You know, like the question, how do I get clients? How do I get contract? How do I get something? Like how, anytime we go into that, that's already based in the non-enoughness. You know, there's already something in there that focuses on it not being so. Okay. So every time we're in this, I am doing this so that I can get that, that is scarcity thought. We're meant to do something because we're serving. And then we get because we're allowing. They're not linked. That cause and effect linear thinking tends to link them together, but they're not actually. They're not linearly linked. And the key part to the service, to the giving component, is non-attachment. Because attachment looks just like, if I do this, then I get that. That's attachment. That's already propelling ourselves into the territory of attachment. Okay. And in your types, you had somewhere in your homework there, look for the ways within your types, how you are, I think it was the last page. Let me see. Yeah, it was the last page, I think. Maybe a page before that. Somewhere it was how you, it was in a four, it was the money story. That's where it was, page 8. In abundance type, you have your three types, and then you have how you're generating money. Like, let's say for ruler, it's through achieving. For maverick, it's through risk. For accumulator, it's through saving. That's how, you know, like you can go for every type. And then what was the attachment? And the attachments go from the first Zoom call. I already gave you that information in a sense. Like, again, for the ruler, the attachment would be, there's not enough and I have to make enough. Like that's the scarcity loop in there. For accumulator would be safety, you know, for nurture it would be saving the world. So those are all attachments of how we sabotage our abundance. Okay, so let's see, for the connector, it would be the, you know, I have to prove that I'm smart and I'm not smart. I have to connect in order to be liked or something like that. Like those things, that would be scarcity piece. Probably, who didn't I say? Romantic. Probably to be acknowledged, something like that. Like when they're trying to compensate for that not being loved, not being seen thing, not being appreciated somehow. So it already goes from the not enoughness, trying to fill it up somehow to compensate for it. Did I go through everybody? Alchemist, I didn't say. So alchemist would be probably to, there is a judgment in there. Alchemist generally would be, the attachment would be judging, attaching some sort of a story judgment to money, to creation through whatever way that they're choosing to create. It also could be, consistency sometimes for the alchemist as well. It could be confidence too. Sometimes in the negative, alchemist would try to like prove that they're confident, prove that they're knowledgeable when they don't kind of feel it. So that's another scarcity piece in there. And I think I said everybody. Celebrity, did I say celebrity? No. So that's obviously the inner critic part. It's trying to avoid criticism in whatever thing that they are choosing to create. So look at your types there, look how you answer that, because you wanna be clear what are your saboteurs there within each type. Okay, so now we can go back to my question of 3 minutes ago. What are your malfunctions in this process of the two buckets and you in the center, and how you receive or repel abundance? And these archetypal pieces I just wove into that as part of something you can look at. Also, I'm doing this so I can get that. That's a way to find your repellent. So anybody would like help on that, wave at me. Linda, I'm unmuting you. Trying to at least. It's, there you are. No, still not. There you are, now you are. Yeah.
Okay, I found this to be kind of a struggle for me. I know you've always told me I've got a leaky bucket, you know, mm-hmm. It comes in, I give it out right away.
Right.
It's every line that I try to follow through and figure out what's going on, it seems to drop into almost two categories. I give because I want to give. Okay. But I don't receive because I don't want to be beholding to others, if that makes any sense.
How are you beholding to others by receiving?
Well, and I haven't quite figured it out. It's like a self-worth thing. If I allow someone to give to me, then is there a hook on it? Do I have to then?
I know the solution for this one. Yeah, that is goes back to, where does money come from?
The universe.
Uh-huh. So if money doesn't come from the person who gave it to you, how could there be a hook? There only could be a hook in their mind, and that's their opinion, and doesn't matter if you don't choose to take that on. Right? It's okay, totally and true that people can give you something expecting something in return. That is true. Not everybody is pure open-hearted giving. A lot of times people do expect something, even, you know, sort of subconsciously, emotionally. But it's up to us if we take on their story and say, oh, now I do owe you. Or if we say, thank you, universe. And this person is sort of like, okay, you're the deliverer. You're the messenger who brought me the thing. Thanks. Thank you, the messenger. Thank you, the universe. And the rest is that person's story, and it's not my story, and I don't care whatever it is that they're thinking, because I choose to receive it fully. Then you're free to give fully.
Okay.
Because and then you're just contributing to the universe, and the universe is giving to you.
Okay, that makes sense. There seems to also be I think it's a karmic story from past lives, mm-hmm. that I've still been trying to clean up. But it's a piece of me that wants to not be visible because it feels almost like at one point there was some type of, you know, I put myself out there and there was wrong decisions made. So what ends up happening is when I'm in a situation where, you know, I feel like my energy is getting big and I'm in my true self, the lower self tries to lower me back down and not let me get too large, because if I become totally myself, therefore, you know, what if you make the wrong choice, decision, you know? So there's a part of me that...
Let's pause you for a second. That goes back to the story. So you're right. Totally correct there, the story from the past life, right? So we know that if we do the broadcast line, the chain of that story, what do we get? We get, I express myself and bad things happen. The decision was incorrect. My thinking was this. What was my belief? Well, my belief was that there is right and wrong decision. And I was trying to make the right one. And supposedly you didn't.
Right, and I feel like there was... Right, I feel like it affected other people, and that's why
other people sign up to be affected. Remember, it's don't take responsibility for other people. Other people are there by their choice or karmic influence to be there, to be influenced by you. So there is no right and wrong decision ever, that doesn't exist, and we all choose to be where we are consciously or not. So if other people were affected, that's also because they choosing to be in the situation where that happens, right?
Okay.
Right. So if we go in that chain all the way to the identity, so if the belief was there is a right and wrong way and I have to choose the right one or bad things happen, the identity is I am only safe if I make the right choice.
Correct.
Okay. So now we're going to do the redirect to a new identity. The new identity is I'm safe anyway and there is no right and wrong. There's just a decision. If something I've done and I don't like the outcome, I just change it and decide again. Okay. So then out of that comes a different belief, different everything. And then the outcome is I get to show up big and powerful because it's safe, because I'm safe anyway, no matter what decision I make. And if somebody likes it or not likes it, that's part of their world.
Well, will that help seal the leaky bucket? Because I feel almost like, you know, the leaky buckets, because I'm giving everything away, so I don't get to that point.
Yeah,
where
you're
I
giving
become
away, so you're compensating for not being big. Because if you hold on to, then you get more visible, right?
Right. Right.
So the new identity is there is no wrong choice. There is just choice. I'm safe anyway because I decided that I am. Those are good, powerful statements. And if you hold on to that, then absolutely when something comes into you in a form of money, you have a natural impulse karmically to give it away. Stop yourself and say, no, I choose to redirect. Why am I giving this? To alleviate their pain? To do something so they like me? To do something so I'm not visible? No, I'm going to hold on to it and let them see me having it. They might judge you. They might not like it. That's true. If you habitually done that, you probably have a circle of people around you who might judge you for not giving because you trained them.
Well, they like taking. So
that's what I mean. Like you trained them that you will give it away. So if you don't, they might judge you. But you have to be still clear that you're choosing to upgrade yourself. So that means they can upgrade with you and choose to be self-responsible or not. But that's not your problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that
I
help?
Appreciate it. Yes.
It All does. Right. Okay, Linda.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. All right. Vanessa, you're going to go next. I'm trying to unmute you. There you go.
Hi. Yeah, so I think it's a little bit on the same lines as what Linda was saying. There's something about service being servitude, like that it's not a total clean transaction. So in receiving money specifically, it's almost like I can't imagine receiving money joyfully for being me without there being some trick or you know, sort of selling some parts of myself or sacrificing some parts of myself.
Yeah, that's totally true for the lower self identity that has that parameter. So sort of like you are inside a box and what you're trying to experience lives outside of the box.
Okay.
So you're saying, what's wrong with me? Why can't I experience it? Because you're in a box. It's not possible. So you're not doing something wrong. You're literally, according to the rules of your universe, the box, you can't experience that. So the only solution is step out of the box. New, different identity. Different, bigger box, I guess. And the bigger box, the bigger identity says, I am divine spark. I am serving. So whatever comes to me doesn't come from people, comes from the universe through people. People are just messengers. So bless the messengers, receive from the universe, and then if you want to give back by service, which you do anyway, you overgive. So as long as you do that, just receive what's coming, and people are just messengers. But that means you have to be that identity. You have to be outside of the box. If you're inside a box, it's not possible. So you're totally correct. Within that parameter, not an option. You have to be outside of the box. That's why we're talking from the lesson one and two on the different identity. That's why that is so important. Identity is not just I do this or I think this way, because I see this with a lot of you, not just you, Vanessa, that trying to think differently with the identity that you have. That is a broken strategy. Mm-hmm. It will not result in what you're desiring. It will maybe work a little bit depending on the circumstances or how much willpower you have, but it will not result in what you really want because your lower self is not your higher self. Those are two different parts of you. So you literally would have to actually say, okay, this part of me, it's the wounded part of me. And for you, Vanessa, of course, you even said servitude and service, right? So there, it's like slavery kind of a service and the, you know, like a servant and a service, higher service, right? They get so merged in your lower self perception, right? So you would have to separate that into, wait a minute, one has a free will choice, another one does not. That's the difference. When we're being overgiver servant, girl washing the floor, that's the no self, you know, you don't get to decide. Somebody else decided for you. What we're talking about, you decide. So the key for you, the switching operator from one track to another, free will choice. That is your thing, free will choice. As long as you consciously, like the redirect statement, I was saying you're thinker of your thoughts, creator of your emotions, whatever. So for you, it would be, I'm the decider of my destiny. And I decide, redirect. Because that's your, like I was saying, everybody of you has a key. That's your key decision. You have to be in a free will. Otherwise you, by default, slide into the servant and you want to be of service, like the higher part of it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Does that answer it? Good.
Yeah, it did. And my created identity or my higher self identity I use is I am limitless love, and that feels very expensive in my body. So I now I'm sitting here in that, and I can really hear what you're saying.
And you can actually link that to your redirect statement. You can say, I'm the decider, and I decide I'm limitless love.
Okay, thank you.
Redirect. Yeah, good, great question. All right, anybody else waving at me? Christy? And Shannon, you're gonna be next. Okay, Christy, go.
Hi, I'm excited to ask you this, but I need a little bit of for you to work through it for me, okay? So in your video, you once said that there's dead energy around money, like sometimes.
If it's not moving.
Okay. If it's not moving.
Yes.
Okay. So I have a pattern. Well, I don't think I have a giant hole in my bucket, but I'm certainly not an accumulator. So I have a pattern where I want to respect my money and I kind of hoard it. And then after a few months, I then buy things like in a row, you know, like business stuff and then computers and then, oh, I need a phone. And so what I'm wondering is if the pattern like we keep talking about this centropathy, and is there a pattern where I can spend it to receive it back, or is that only in the two different buckets of service and money?
It's not anything that you do to receive back. Those are two separate buckets. But when you are spending, if you don't see it as I'm spending as it now, it's leaving me, hence the opposite, hoarding it, because I don't have, now I have, and now I need, so I spend, and now I don't have again. That's a scarcity. Instead, what if every time you spend is I give? So then the spending becomes a service. You're buying something from somebody. I'm sure you're choosing who you're buying from. So if you're consciously see that as a service, you know, I'm choosing to invest into this company versus that company. I'm choosing to spend with this person versus that person. Whatever it is that you're spending money on, if you see it as a service, then it's in this bucket, which means this one gets filled up, which means there's a continuous flow. But anytime we're hoarding, yes, we're killing money, it becomes dead energy. And then there's a natural desire to unload it. So then you end up still continuing the scarcity cycle if you spend without thinking of it as a service. What doesn't make sense?
But I like it. Well, I don't know. I like to spend it, and I feel like you have to be responsible with how you spend it. But yes. I guess I'm just wondering if, like, instead of waiting, is waiting hoarding and that makes it dead? Or is, like, should you just be continuously spending?
No, you're mixing two things. Yeah, what I'm talking about as a dead money and hoarding, that is something like generational wealth that, let's say, sits there for 300 years. That's a dead money because it's invested in, you know how a lot of times you see it in movies, like wealthy people that, you know, they're like property wealthy, but they have no cash and they have to like borrow somebody's money to go buy themselves a, you know, whatever, like food, because they don't actually have money to pay, you know, whoever's the maintaining their property and stuff, but they own the property that's worth, you know, millions and millions. So that's a dead money. When we inherit money and we're afraid to spend it, or we see ourselves as a custodian of it and we have to deal with it, that's a dead money. We need to invest it and spend it on something, or, you know, let it flow into something. Spend, by the way, doesn't mean, see, I'm even using it differently than you are. I just realized that. Because to me, spending is making money alive. And to you, spending is losing. That's, I think, where the difference is. Spending is not losing. Like, you know, when you spend it, you're meant to put it into something that creates the inflow for you. So there is no such thing as losing. You can't lose money if you're doing it with service. It's not possible. So when we think of it like, oh, I have to pay bills, now you're losing money on bills. But if you look at it, I'm so grateful that I have the money to pay these bills, and how awesome it is that this particular person who allows me to live on their property, that I'm paying the rent, or this person who came and fixed this, or whoever the company is that allows me to have my cell phone that connects me to the world, that they exist and I'm so grateful for them. Now you're contributing to the cycle of life. So that's service. That's not losing money. So now in a smaller scale, what you're saying, like hoarding and then spending, if there is no hoarding or spending, it's your perception of I don't have enough, so I'm not spending, and then I can't stand it anymore, so I'm spending. So it's more of a perception issue than a money issue, because you don't have money long enough for it to be officially dead. Yeah, it's more like a perception that I don't have enough, so I gotta hold on.
All right. I'll work on that.
Well, hopefully I answered that for you. Okay. I liked your rhino that you were walking with. Rhino, that was awesome.
I think she was a hippo. I think she was a cross.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, a hybrid. Yeah, that was cool. I've never seen that one before. I mean,
you saw her?
Yeah, well, I tuned in to you guys when you were having the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was cool, huh?
Yeah, she was cool. All right. And Shannon, I promised
You're next. I just need to find you. Oh, there you are. Now I see you. Yeah. Go.
Okay. So for my malfunctions, I'm a nurturer. So obviously I also am a leaky bucket, which I really, in the last 5 weeks, really addressed that very well, because I understand that I need to take care of myself. So, but I wondered, how is it that a nurturer is a money generator? Is it by investing in self and, you know, being internal leadership, as opposed to, you know?
Well, nurture
because generates, we like to give away.
Yeah, nurture generates by whatever choice they have. You know, if they're choosing to have a job or if they're choosing to have a business, it's just that nurturer generally is able to generate. There's some types that, you know, have that ability, not as strongly, but let's say somebody like accumulator, somebody like ruler, they can generate. So is nurturer. Probably because nurturer always looks at it kind of like a mother that needs to provide for children. So can you imagine a mother that didn't provide for her children and still felt that she's a good mother? No, right? I mean, I'm sure there are crappy mothers out there, but let's just say like good mother, the archetype of a mother, it's someone that will do anything for her kids, right? She'll figure a way. She will make sure that there is something for the children. So that's the nurture archetype. It's sort of the mother in a sense. It's the energy of I'm going to have enough so that I can give. So how they generate, that's a personality preference.
Okay. So then my other one is that I'm an accumulator. And so I really believe this is a malfunction of my, because I do have, I have the money, but I love to get a bargain. I'm like, I'm a great bargain shopper.
Yeah, and bargain is the accumulator. Accumulators only spend on bargains.
Yeah, it's just like makes me so happy.
Accumulators, not somebody who never spends. I mean, there's
no
person. Yeah, accumulators are the people who would look for a bargain always and spend on sale or buy in, I don't know, Costco, where you can get like more for one or something like that. That's a typical accumulator. Yeah. Or they will look for a deal of the century.
Is that a malfunction?
No, that's normal accumulator.
No. That's just normal.
That's
okay.
Just normal accumulators. Accumulators spend on bargains.
Very normal.
Remember, accumulator needs to learn to spend on luxury. An accumulator considers things that most people totally think is normal, luxury.
Yeah.
Like getting your hair done, getting your nails done, going for a massage, having your car detailed. Most people consider that normal. For accumulator, that would be seen as luxury.
Okay, great.
They just would Thank not you. Spend on that, and if they do, they will cringe.
Yeah, but getting better. Thank you.
Yeah, did that answer it?
Yes, it did. It did.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, this is your chance to have me help you with the money malfunction. So I would think there would be tons of hands. Sherry, you're next.
Okay.
And Lily, you're next after Sherry.
This class is healing something big in me. Because I'm not working anymore, and because money and manifesting equated money to me, I had this hole about how I was valuable. And when you said serving by adding a harmonious note to the disharmonious world, just by being in harmony, that's huge to me. That's really big. I don't know that I'll ever, you know, manifest or make a big bunch of money, no matter what all my positives and negatives around are about that are, but just to know that and work with that, that changes my self-worth, that changes my separation, that changes a whole lot of stuff. So I just am super grateful.
Yeah, and even the mechanical sort of more material life around you, I mean, you have created the circumstance when you have a place to live,
where you have right. ability to, you know, eat still good food or whatever. Like, you're not homeless. You're not living somewhere where, you know, like if we make it extreme, right? Like, I don't know, homeless bag lady under the bridge or something. That's not your life. It could have been in some other lifetime, but that's not your life. So even though, yes, you don't have millions of dollars, but you live in a world where you have apartment, right? You have food, you have clothes, you have heat, you're not in need of any. If you want medical attention, you can have it. You can have beauty around you. You can, I mean, I'm sure you have a credit card in case you need something like an emergency. So kind of like, I know that this is not like millions of dollars, but that's also worth seeing in perspective range of what could be, that that's actually an improvement as far as allowing yourself to be taken care of. And now there's a difference in being self-driven, as in showing up and right. making more happen versus not. So you can see how your karmic patterns and stories in this lifetime kind of minimized your showing up and creating stuff, which is why you don't have it right now. Yep. But the baseline part,
it started in childhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was repeating the pattern
mm-hmm.
and it's just so revealed in this class.
Yeah. And it's good to understand because that's how we clean up karmic junk. So we don't carry it over the next lifetime and the next lifetime. So this overall, you're having a comfortable life. I mean, maybe it's not perfect and right. you know, whatever, but like you're not hungry, you're not cold, you're not on the street. Like, you actually have abundance. Like the enoughness part, you have it, right? So then the rest of it yeah. is just looking yeah. at the patterns yeah. and stuff and then seeing how can I contribute, right? And that's the service piece, that consistency of broadcast. So if sometimes right. you judge the neighbor and sometimes you don't, sometimes you feel like you're, I don't know, judging yourself and sometimes you don't, that's inconsistent broadcast. So the more that you kind of hold that consistently for yourself, right? The more you're providing that service, which means you are receiving, and that can come to you in some other way. Somebody in a store might give you an extra something just because, like in a bakery, they might give you another thing and say, just there you go, try that. We made an extra or something. Or it could be something a little bigger than that. It could be whatever it is, including material. Maybe not right. literally, in your case, in the form of money, but that's how the right. universe then returns. That's the same.
Yeah, money used to trigger me a lot. And now it won't so much because that's not my focus. That's not my path. So that helped a whole lot. Thank you.
That's why I was saying that abundance, that's being connected, that's oneness, that's being in the universe, that's feeling like you're supported. And money, right. that's one of the frequencies. And yes, if we live in the modern world here, of course, we need money, just like you, I'm sure, like you need money to function in whatever you live in, Seattle. So it's a, you know, mechanical.
But I'm an accumulator, so I have some.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like there's a structural setup there that some of it you need to have, and you do, which is why I go back mm-hmm. to, you actually have abundance, just not like proportionally there's bigger or smaller kind
right.
of experience. But
right.
you have it. You're not, you know, whatever your other lifetimes might have been, you're not that. You're actually in a comfortable scenario. And being accumulator helped.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Now, Lily, I need to find you. You were on another page. Lily, there you are. Unmute you. Go. Oh, still, I can't hear you. Can you unmute on your end?
Yeah. Go. Well, my main problem is, you know, I'm very magnetic. So for me to make decisions is a difficult. Mm-hmm. So I live in more or less with the feeling. So I can choose if I feel good or not by this thing, but not the decision itself, like to change the identity. It's difficult to me. And now in the money making, the problem is it's not about my this buckets, but for example, how could I get my own money back? For example, now it's Corona, I invested some money in my, let's say, advertising for my business, But because now I don't need it, that businesses stopped now, I try to get my money back and I can't get it even. It's not here and not there. It's not mine and it doesn't belong to the people I paid for the advertising. Yeah,
I would say the entire thing is in scarcity. So anytime we try to get something, that means we're already disconnected. So if something is spent and it did not create the result we want, you still did it with a good intention, so it's contributed to your money bucket. That's the whole point. It's not linear. It's not I spend here and I get the money. I spend here and I get the clients. I spend here and I get the business. I spend on advertising and then I get the people to go into my funnel. That's linear and it's not like this. I spend here and no attachment. I let it go. So if it didn't produce the mechanical result I hoped, so what? I still contribute to the universe. But if I remain open to receive, this will still come to me somehow else. So you might have spent on advertising and you can't get that money back and you're not meant to. It's gone, it's done. You contributed to advertising company and now they, had a bridge carry them over because somebody like you and other people paid them. Good for them, not good for you in this situation, technology-wise, but it's still universe, you contributed, you supported them. Now the universe can give you something. Somebody might just show up in your life and say, hey, I want to be your client, and they never sell you advertisement. Just they heard about you somehow else, and it will bring you exactly the same amount, let's say, as this. Like I have this happen all the time. When I would put the money into something, because my Maverick does that thing when I risk, and if it doesn't quite work the way that I hoped, I would get paid exactly that, sometimes like crazy, to literally like $48 would be exactly $48, coming from something else, somehow else, because universe always compensates. So it's not about trying to get it from where you put it. It's letting it go, no attachment, while knowing that you're serving. The key here is we have to internally be in the energy of abundance. This is what I was saying to Christy too, is that when we try to give something, but it's not in abundance, then it's more like I'm spending it. I spend the money on advertising. I spend the money on purchasing something. But if you think of spending as losing, that will not return, even if, you know, let's say it's a, you know, advertising, then the ads will not work. So in order for it to work, we have to be in abundance.
Well, I thought it's more not scarcity. I was looking for the justifier because
did they run your ads?
I was not scared to look.
Did they run your ads? Did it go live?
I don't understand.
Did the advertising that you paid for, did it go out? Did it actually go live or no?
No. Not advertising. It's a coffee book. And they asked me to send my works and they wanted to print it on March. Mm-hmm. And now I said, okay, March, you didn't do anything. Give money back. And
can they print it in May or June? Can they print it in June?
No, March next year. So in 1 year.
What happens if they just print it 2 months later?
1 year later.
Why a year later?
I don't know.
Is it a calendar?
No, it's not a calendar, it's a coffee book, it's a beautiful thing, but I thought it's, for me, it's important now to have something to give to my clients, not in a year, who knows what's
exactly going on. So what I'm saying is that if their production was stopped, they can't give it to you in 2 months? Why do they have to wait a year?
Because of coronavirus, everything is postponed to
2-3 months, not a year.
Longer. So, Well, but this is a question. This is a just, I wanted to just justice, mm-hmm. not a disparity. I'm not scared about money, even in 1 year, but why doesn't come back to me?
As I said, because if we are giving, we can receive elsewhere. So if you're saying that they cannot do it in 2 months, they have to do it for some reason in a year, I don't get that, but let's just say, then you can say, all right, then you owe me that money back. If they say no, you can choose to fight them, or you can choose to spend your energy elsewhere. I would. I'm not the person that would go fight after somebody, because I don't see this as justice or injustice. I just see it like, okay, if it's easy enough, sure, I would do it. But if it's more complicated, I would let it go and I want to spend my energy on that instead. I'll just get it from the universe somehow else. Because what do you want more? Do you want happiness and flow in your life, or do you want to spend next year fighting them?
No, I just wanted to know why it doesn't come back. Everybody gets back, not me.
Did you have a contract with them?
Things like, yes.
So then you have a legal leg to stand on, and you can press that contract. I mean, if you really want to go that route, you can.
I didn't want to have a fight. I just wanted to understand mm-hmm. why even my money is not coming back to me.
Like, it's not your money anymore.
It's
not your money anymore. That's the thing. Yeah, we tend to think of money as my money, not my money. There's really no my or not my. Money is money, and it's within our zone of influence or not. When something is within our zone of influence, that means it's in your bank account or in your possession somehow. Like now you can sort of say it's your money. But when the money is within our zone of influence, we control what we do with it. But once it leaves our zone of influence, that's because we made a decision to let it go somewhere. So at that point, it will not come back to you from that place. It will come to you from the universe if you are in abundance frequency. And if you're not, then it doesn't come back.
But this is my main question, because I don't know. I live just with the feelings, and I don't know how to be so structural to
you just to need to track your feelings so to the identity. Lily, you need to track your feelings to identity. So if over here I feel like a victim, it's unjust. So then the next thing, the thoughts are, I'm being used, I'm being manipulated, it's not right. Then over here, the belief is, why do I always like this? It always happens to me. People disrespect me. There's something wrong. And then the identity would be probably something like, I don't deserve respect, or I have to know to be respected, or something else like that. So you would have to change that identity into, I am respecting myself, I love myself, and I choose to be seen as a respectful person. And from that place, the chain reaction goes to the external world, as in, oh, okay, so then the universe says, great, if she wants to be respected, let's make sure she is respected, and then you are respected, either an interaction with this particular company, or it comes to you somehow else. It's not always direct from the same place. But that's how you change it. When you have a feeling, that is still like step two. You need to go all the way to identity. It has nothing to do with being electric or magnetic. It has to do with literally focusing your attention. Okay, like see how I just did this whole story for you? Yeah, all I did is I focused the attention on that chain of events. You can see what the belief is, you can see what identity is. So if you switch that identity into, I'm a person who's respected, and then you step into feeling or the emotion that would be like, oh, I don't feel like I need other people to respect me. I'm already respected. Like nobody ever disrespects me because I don't look for the respect from other people. I am respecting me, and then it never occurs to somebody to disrespect me because it's not a frequency that I broadcast, right? So if you want to be respected, and this money thing is about respect for you, then you would need to be the identity that feels respected regardless of what other people think.
Now I have a feeling I understood.
Okay, good. Yeah, if feeling is the main thing, and by the way, that's not just Lily, but like for everybody who's more emotional, remember that we have to fully embody the identity, right? If we just think it, it doesn't work. We have to fully experience it. How do we experience it? That depends on your polarity. But still, your thoughts, your emotions, and your body have to be involved. For the thinking type of person, it's more thinking in the body. For the emotional person, it's more emotions in the body. But it's still whatever it is for you. So if you're emotional, it would be experiencing it feelingly. But you can't experience it feelingly until you did the little chain here to the identity, switched to a new identity, and then brought it back to a feeling, just like we did with Lily.
Mm-hmm. Eugenia.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Lily. All right, Dusty.
Hi.
Hi.
So, of course, I'm ego-driven, and I don't understand a lot of the stuff you guys have been talking about, but I'm sure I do somehow. But so how do you create, since I seem to move a massive amount of funds regularly through my universe, but how do you create the one side of the bucket to so that it can, like, I want the extra things. I want the bigger house. I want the bigger cars. I want to live all those. I want to create that bucket. So it's not a balance of making it balance all the time, but I want to create it so that I can move into the next phase of where I feel like I need to be.
Right. You're mixing the metaphor here a little bit. That's kind of the answer I gave already to Robert, but I'll repeat it differently. So the two buckets, that's not so it comes through. One bucket is service. So this is all the stuff, Dusty, that you do for people, how you're caring, how you're showing up, how you, you know, like managing, hustling, whatever it is you do, that's your service bucket. This bucket has nothing to do with that. This bucket is money. This is universe. This is like the whole universe says, Dusty is awesome. We love Dusty. We're going to just put money into his bank account spiritually. The more you do this, the more goes on here. The more you serve and do things that are yummy for other people, you know, the more you get here, something that the universe gives you. But the key to getting it to you is the person in the middle between the two buckets. That's the identity. So your current identity is not the one that has the things you want to have. That's why you don't have the things you want. That's the answer. So that's why we're saying the broadcast change. That's okay. You're going to get it. Just track what I'm saying. You can do it. Focus. So we have the external thing. I have to hustle, and shit still doesn't work, and I still don't have the things I want. Emotion, I feel frustrated, I feel angry, I feel annoyed, upset. And thoughts, I compare to everybody, how come they can do it and I can't? Am I on the right path?
Well, the one that you really go is that I work harder and harder, but I don't get where
that's
I want to be.
That's the belief, that's the next step, good job. So the next step is I have to work hard and then it will work. So what are you doing then? You're working harder and harder to making it work, and it still doesn't work because it's a faulty strategy to begin with. And the identity is, I will only have if I work hard. So we need to switch that to a different identity. The different identity is, I choose to work and I choose to have, not related one to another. It's not the harder I work, the more I have. It's I choose to work and I choose to have. From that, the belief comes, I can work strategically. I can attract what I need because I'm just the kind of person that correct people will come into my life because I'm a man of integrity. People who come into my life will also be people of integrity who will not manipulate or screw me over, but actually will create good partnerships with me. Then the thoughts are harmonious, the emotions are, you know, you're happy. You create very well when you're happy, actually, versus when you're angry. So you're happy, you're just feeling kind of, you know, okay about yourself. And then the external environment is there are more possibilities happen that take you to the next level because the identity expanded to be able to hold the thing you want. That's what I was saying to Vanessa about the box. Like if you're living in this kind of a box and you're saying, well, I want this stuff that's outside of the box.
And I'm saying you can have this stuff outside of the box, but you have to be outside of the box, which is the identity, which is I choose to work and I choose to have, instead of I have to work hard to get.
Can you tell me how that ties into the celebrity part? Because it's celebrity, ruler, romantic. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, so celebrity is charisma. Celebrity is all about charisma. This is like somebody asked me this, how do you make it happen? Like, what's the archetypal way? I think I answered that for nurturer, that it depends on whatever nurturer wants. Well, for celebrity, it's on charisma. You are the type that there's nobody's gonna not notice you. Like, it's not possible. If you're somewhere, you will be noticed. You naturally create this vortex around you. That's why you know so many people. That's why you're in many different organizations. That's why you have friends, whatever. The problem is, though, that if you don't feel good about yourself, if you don't see yourself as good enough, then the type of people that you attract will be of a lower quality, not trustworthy.
I don't feel noticed. Like,
you don't feel what?
I don't feel noticed. Like,
you don't feel noticed.
Yeah, like, I know people see me, but like, I don't get it back from them. I don't feel like I don't feel like they're noticing me.
They are noticing you. So if you're not feeling it, it's probably because of that not enoughness component in there, because of their allowing and receiving. Because if we sort of clean up all this into the positive new identity, that would look like, I love myself. I'm enough. Nobody needs to tell me I'm enough. Nobody needs to notice me. I'm just having a good time with myself. You know, like, I'm just walking around. I'm good looking. I'm sexy. I'm good. I got whatever going on. It's all happening. Then I go to work and I give. I choose to do whatever I do, not because I have to work hard to get something, but because I'm enjoying myself and this is awesome and I'm good at this and I choose to do that. And I choose to talk to people from that place because I already have. That will then create the type of experience that you want, because you're starting from I already have instead of I don't and I need and how do I. For the celebrity, the key is always about, well, celebrating themselves. That's like, I don't know what it would be. I'm not a celebrity, what it would feel like, but I would say it's probably kind of like what I'm saying. Like, I'm loving myself. I'm cool. I'm good. I got it going on. Like, whatever that thing is for you, when you feel that, some of you probably know what I'm saying, right? Like, it's the feeling when you put headphones on and you're dancing to some song that like gets you going and you don't care what it looks like because you're just really having a good time with the song. So it's that feeling. And you, Dusty, you don't allow yourself to have that because of, you know, the restrictions that you put on yourself. But that is actually what's going to bring wealth to you.
Okay.
Did that answer it?
Yes, but I'm sure we'll have to revisit it again.
Yes, we'll revisit it. Yeah. All right. Brad, you're next. And then Teresa, I'll get to you. You're still muted. There you are. Nope. There.
Yeah, it came up with a dialogue. I had to click on it to unmute, to give you permission to unmute me. It was weird. This is a real paradigm shift, this whole two buckets thing. And it's fascinating and exciting. On the one level, I'm working on a spiritual stuff. So in the service bucket, I get it. You know, I've got my group and I've got running meditations and just doing them out of love. And it feels great. I've recognized a few attachments to the results of the actions, like, you know, number of views or comments or even group members or something like that. But I see them and I recognize that I'm doing that. And I think that's going to be easy to get out of the way. On the other bucket side, the abundance side, what I'm actually, one of the goals I've got here in this course is to clear out all the interference and be able to tune into higher power, if you will, and just to keep it simple. And so it's interesting because I I don't want to be attached to the results of the actions, but I have this intention. And so I guess I'm a little conflicted there. I'm not sure, can I have the intention without being attached to the results?
Yeah, remember that was the answer number one as to why certain intentions don't work, right? So you have to be grounded in who you are. You have to have identity that holds that as a possibility. And you have to be following through no matter what.
Okay. So as long as I follow those steps, it's not an attachment, and I will remain open to whatever comes once I get the interference out of the way.
Right. You're talking about the difference between intention and a goal. So when we think of a goal, it's usually very electric, and it's like a destination. I need to get there. That's a goal. Anytime we put a goal, we tend to get attached, because okay, as soon as we unattached, we don't get the goal to happen.
I'm very specifically trying to stay open
to whatever
it is.
Right.
So that's not the goal, that's more the intention.
All right. And the intention, it's like a directional destination versus a point. And you can make that path wider.
I was just saying wider.
As you need.
Yes.
Yeah.
and it'll focus naturally.
Right.
What comes to me in my own particular, soul or whatever.
Exactly.
And it'll just be the perfect fit.
Naturally. Yeah. And in that, the three things, the number two, the identity, connecting to the divine. There's a little bit there of assumption that you are disconnected and you need to reconnect. So if instead you open up that identity into I am the divine and I want to experience more of it, that will help a lot.
It seems much of this is just getting the crap out of the way.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm working on. It doesn't sound right. Focusing or being aware of.
Okay. Exactly.
Great.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, Teresa, you're next.
Hi. Thank you. Dusty, I just wanted to share my perspective on the celebrity, because that's also part of who I am, part of my abundance archetypes. And when I found out I was a celebrity, it explained what happened when you walk into a space. It's like you can feel attention come to you, or you can feel things magnetized to you. You feel, and people will randomly drop opportunities into your lap. And it's more, for me, I experience celebrity more as a resonance.
Yeah, and that, by the way, could be positive or negative. So celebrities in the negative can experience that same thing that they're being focused on negatively. They're being picked on or something like that. That's the wound. But on the positive, it's the opportunities coming in. And we might not think of those things as opportunities, but they are. Like, it could be just somebody talking about some possibility or whatever, that you almost like don't even know why they're telling you this, but they're just kind of saying that. Now, if you choose to follow on that, then something could come through.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just wanted to offer my perspective.
That's a good point. And Dusty, hopefully that lands too, because celebrity is like the opposite of my type, so I wouldn't know how to express it. So good, thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right. I need more hands. Andrea?
Oh, thank you, Genia. Thank you for what a great module this is. My question is bringing it back to entrepreneurship. And the business side, the money piece, and I think I'm getting it. It's this dance, kind of, because my question is, when you are in entrepreneurship, you are not just kind of doing the things, like the things that came to me to do. Like, you're not just, you still are creating a conduit for your clients, your customers to give you money. You're offering a program. You're putting a price on something. Okay. Prosperity vehicle. Perfect. And so at the same time, we are to understand that we are not trying to get more clients, and we're not trying to, that the universe is paying us, not the client. So is the way to think about that, it's kind of like a little like mental Tai Chi or something, right? We're thinking that we're serving to the client in a specific way, and then the universe is compensating us for that. And then the client is actually investing in themselves. Or yeah. Like, how do you think about that? And yet at the same time, like the idea that somebody was just talking about, I can't remember, but that you might have a goal of.
Yeah, that's this, exactly, you know, the answer there. That thing you just went to, Brad was just asking that.
Yeah, sorry, Brad, thank you.
That's exactly it. First of all, prosperity vehicle is the thing through which you choose to serve. Mm-hmm. So it could be a job, or it could be whatever, an entrepreneurship, it would be your business. So your prosperity vehicle, kind of like the body is our matter vehicle that we're in, and prosperity vehicle, that's the next level, it's the thing through which we serve. So your prosperity vehicle would be your business. Now, any business must have the fluid side, intention, and intuition and all that, and a structural side, or it's not a business, it's not going to be. Yeah. The structural side is the strategy. So the strategy would be like, let's say my idea is that I would like to create this kind of a program, and the program I'm offering this kind of a thing, I'm serving through that, I know it will be benefit for this kind of a person, this is how much the program is worth, this is how many, let's say, people I would need per year to have certain amount of income per year, whatever. This is all strategy. This is necessary and important. But just like what I was saying to Brad, if we keep it as a wide road for intention, you know, I think I even gave that as example somewhere, is that you can say, I choose to make, let's say, $100,000 this year by having, you know, 20 clients and doing this way and selling this program. And then the universe can try to give you that to whatever the degree that you allowed it. Or you can say, I choose to have 100,000 or more through this particular program or something else that might come, and let's say through whatever clients that would resonate with me through this program, while having, let's say, ease and not overworking or not overgiving. And that would be an intention more than a goal. And that might mean that, like, for in this example, it could be, it's instead of, let's say, I need 20 clients to buy this particular program to get 200,000. What if you have 3 clients and they're asking for extra attention? So you design then a add-on to your program. And now suddenly, instead of 20 clients, you're actually working less. You only need, let's say, 10 clients, and it still gets you 200. Or you have your 20 with the add-on, and now it gets you to 200. But you didn't goal it. You kind of intended it. And then the universe brought that to you. So it's more, I don't know, does that help, Andrea?
It does. I think that the point of clarification I'm working towards is between the difference between attempting to get the clients, right? And then this intending for the clients that, you know, I'm kind of like, maybe one is just that you know it's coming.
Oh, that's so
you just decide.
Separate it from money. Say that this program is worth this much. That's not negotiable. That's what I decided.
Right.
Okay. Now I want people who will benefit by this program to come to me.
I see.
Because I am so excited to serve through this program.
Right. Oh, that I like the separation.
Right. It's a separation. And now you're focusing on the service.
Yeah.
And they are investing in themselves.
Yeah.
By the fact of utilizing your service.
All right, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That was a great question. Mira, hold on, gotta unmute you.
Okay.
There you go.
I have a curiosity. I'm the accumulator, and just starting this class and looking at my life, I realized that I was so fortunate through the whole life, even when I had very little and I needed money for something, they were coming. And it was through all my history. But then I started to see some pattern. For example, if I want more, if I need more, not need, if I want more, next step, next level, suddenly nothing would happen. And my question is it because of karma or is it because of identity?
It's both. It's identity for sure, but was that identity formed in this lifetime or did it have influence of other lifetimes? Chances are it did. But it's kind of not really relevant. It doesn't matter where it was formed in this lifetime or many previous in addition to it, because either way, even if something is karmic, there's no such thing as karmic, but not this lifetime. If it's karmic, it is this lifetime too. It will have to be activated here. So every time that I get this question, like, is it karma or is it this lifetime? Like as if it makes a difference. It's either way, it's an issue you got to deal with. But anything karmic, consider it's this lifetime too. And anything in this lifetime, I mean, how often do we create completely new pattern, totally from scratch, never experienced before? Very, very rarely. So 99%, it's karma plus this lifetime. But to answer your question, Mirazan, is it identity? Yes, it's all identity, totally. Because every time you were at a certain level, you had identity that owned that and had no problem with it. Then you wanted to upgrade, and now your identity had to upgrade something, self-worth or how visible you will be or whatever else that came with that. Maybe like having to change your boundary because maybe people would judge you or something else. So every time you need to do that, then there is a little gap there. And once that next level happens and you fully own it, then again, the finances happen on that level.
Can I ask you one more question? Because it's interesting. My late husband and I, all of our finances, we're always together. And the questions right now, how do people, when they are together, how they are kind of creating this influence on each other, karma on each other identity, because he had the same thing. He never could understand why he will come to this level and then it's kind of, he can't go up.
You answered your own question. Both people contribute and whoever influences strongest will actually affect the money. So if you have two people and you have, let's say, one person who is totally in scarcity and another one is totally like happy-go-lucky, whatever, nothing will go wrong, chances are they will fluctuate. Somehow they will be never having too much, barely making it, but somehow always making it because both people's stories contribute to it. If one person believes that, hey, we can have the upgrade to the next level and another person doesn't, they probably won't upgrade to the next level as much, maybe just a little bit, but not to the extent that the first person thought, because both people affect the money if money is put together. So in your situation, though, I mean, and that's not just you, but in general, when people consciously get married, not like when we got married and then we realized what did I do, but when it's an actual choice and we like actually like resonate with the person we want to be with, then we tend to have similar issues. So you're identity thing there and his identity issue were similar. So then you both had to work it through to get to the next level every time.
Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Well, this is it. Here we are. This was awesome. I'm so glad that we got to look through all the pieces. I will end here unless there's one burning question. I keep feeling somebody, but I don't know who that somebody is. So if there's one more, I'll do it. Otherwise, we're going to go. Heidi McGill, that's who I was feeling. Okay. I can feel like I'm like ready to end and there's somebody there. No! So, okay. You're muted again. Now, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just piggybacking on kind of this last thought. I was curious because I've had two businesses before, but right now I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I'm not contributing in the traditional sense to our finances, but I was curious, does that, you know, where does that leave me with?
You're contributing in the form of service, and remember the contributing part is the service bucket. So service could be job, could be your own business, but many other things as well, including gardening while holding a particular intention. You're a full-time mom, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how are you not contributing? You're a full-time mom for two kids.
You know, part of my story is definitely that you have to like work hard in this like traditional linear sense, so.
Well, you know, we can generate money or we can generate something else, but either way we contribute. And as long as we value ourselves, what our contribution is, it matters. So somebody could disvalue what they have or what they're doing, and then they will not receive from the universe, right? Because they said, well, it's nothing. But if we value what we're doing, you know, like if we really like, I mean, full-time mom, my God, that's like the hardest job on the planet, I would think, you know, to actually raise children consciously, like that's a lot. So if you're choosing to do that and you're doing it to the best of your ability and well and conscious, and, you know, you're actually like consciously participating with your kids, you're not just putting them in front of YouTube video, well, that's huge. Like that's, value that. And because you're valuing that, more will come to you. And if at some point you choose to create a business again or whatever, you can. So that it's not to say you have to be a full-time mom, but I'm just saying that you're not contributing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. I'm going to try to find a button to unmute you all. There you are. All right. Well, here we are. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. See you next week.
Bye.
Everybody.
Bye.
Bye.